Today is Wednesday. It is March 21st, 2018 at 11:11 in the morning. Yes, it's Wednesday. This is John Williams with a one day early, very special edition of the Mincing Rascals, a weekly podcast we record at the studios at WGN. You can also hear me weekdays from 1 to 3 on WGN Radio and Saturday mornings from 10 a.m. until noon.
Justin Kaufman, download WGN here weeknights 7 to 11.
I'm Steve Bertrand, host of the Business Lunch, the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN.
I'm Eric Zorn, the bleary-eyed columnist from the Tribune.
Eric is bleary-eyed because he was on WGNRadio.com last night with our own Justin Kaufman, doing some election coverage. We sure appreciate that, fellas.
Then I went home and stayed up till 3 in the morning writing a column that's already online.
So. Oh, no kidding. What's the headline? I did not see your column online yet. What's the thrust of it?
The thrust of the headline is that this we shouldn't make too much of the perfect storm that knocked Joe Berrios out of office. That's the thrust.
Why do you say that?
Well, just that people were saying, well, this was a big defeat for Mike Madigan, that Joe Berrios, who is, of course, the Cook County Democratic Party chair and a longtime assessor incumbent, Madigan's guy, got his butt kicked last night in the primary by Fritz Kagi, an independent challenger. And I pointed out in this column how there was a series of things that came together that made this defeat possible. Number one is you had a guy, Fritz Kagi, who's willing to spend $1.5 million of his own money to become a county assessor. Another was that property taxes were really, and these people were really all excited about property taxes, paying a lot of attention to that issue. But the big issue that knocked Berrios out was how much journalism was committed against him last year by the Tribune and then ProPublica working together to expose the shoddy system of assessments that Berrios had been overseeing for the last 8 years.
It was a great example of journalism and how it works. But wasn't there also reporting that some regular party members were leaving him off sample ballots doing things like that?
Yes, there was, but I think those are related. I don't think that would have happened if you hadn't had that journalism, if you hadn't had these things.
So it wasn't disaffection with Berrios as much as they wanted to distance himself from the story.
Well, I think the disaffection with Berrios was caused by the journalism. Berrios didn't even have a challenger 4 years ago. He ran unopposed in the primary. I think that these stories, this dissatisfaction with his stewardship of that office is what prompted all
Actually, this. Actually, he had a challenger 4 years ago. He gave the job to one of his relatives.
Well, I never saw it. Does anybody ever think of the Cook County Assessor's Office as a harbinger of anything anyway?
It's your precinct committeeman tells you to vote for him. And a lot of people don't look down ballot very often, right? I mean, a lot of these elections, a lot of these races, you just like, who do I vote for? I'll look at the card I'm given. I'll talk to my block captain. I'll talk to my ward committee, and they'll tell me who I should vote for.
Yeah, but this story is, in fact, not about party politics. It's about one very specific thing. A guy was doing his job badly, and he was exposed for it.
Could you imagine? Just the worst possible campaign ever for Joe Berrios. I mean, this was, if you were going to run
what was
for
his
any
campaign?
Office, just the idea that he was putting out fires every single day, whether it was a Tribune, ProPublica, and then he went to court to challenge the ruling that
limits on donations
from property tax appeals lawyers, and you're like, that's the wrong thing to do a week before the election.
And then he ran that bizarre ad, which Eric properly dissected in one of his columns, saying that he's for gun control.
That's all
and
he had,
wrote landmark legislation to keep our schools safer, and that his opponent, this Fritz Kagi guy, is in bed with the NRA. And none of that stood up to scrutiny.
And also, none of it matters for the property tax.
The assessor of gun control. Well, and first, finally, he didn't participate in any debates. He refused to.
That's the thing. He was invisible. What's the matter, Steve?
These guys seem really low.
Okay.
Energy wise,
I can go. No, I'm low energy wise, but
all right. I'll try and monitor the volume.
Sorry.
Low character. If you haven't been able to understand what Justin and Eric have been saying, it's not that important.
It wasn't that good.
It wasn't that good anyway.
No, it'll get better.
So jump in here. What do you want to say?
Well, I'm just interested in the fact that Eric, you know more about it than I do, and I don't know that this is a big defeat for Madigan, but it just seems like if you have the sitting chair of the Democratic Party who can't win a Democratic primary, that's a sign of change coming.
Somewhat. But
no, it's not. But I don't think it is.
But look at
it's a sign that he was doing a bad job.
Yeah, I mean, because
but in the old days, he would have won anyway.
Extraordinary.
He would have won anyway.
I'm a little surprised that journalism mattered this much here.
We had Fritz Kagi on last night. His job gets a lot harder because the newspapers and everybody else rang the bell for the corruption that was in Joe Berrios' office. If he does not change things, if Joe Berrios, who said it wasn't me, I'm trying to change. I've been doing this as assessor, trying to make these changes. If Fritz Kage doesn't come in and we don't see a change in our property tax bill, are we just is he a short-termer?
Well, you may not see a change in your property tax bill because the assessor doesn't set the rates or the levies. The assessor just has a system for evaluating the value of the property. So, and that's what, you know, what the ProPublica and Tribune investigations were finding, which was that they were overvaluing properties in poor neighborhoods, businesses, and residences, and they were undervaluing higher income.
But don't
properties.
You think the voter in Cook County is like, yeah, I'm sick of my property taxes being so high,
yes.
And he's corrupt. I'm going for the other guy, and then in 3 years they're gonna be like, why are my taxes even higher?
Right. I think it's like the tax break we're getting from the president. You really don't notice it either way. I mean, you do a little bit, but I don't know that people are going to, a year from now or 3 years from now, go, oh, this number is bigger than that number, and it was that guy that came into office, and therefore he is or isn't going to keep the job.
So is this the beginning of the end for Berrios as party chairman? Or
I would think so. I mean, I'm not exactly
you would
sure.
Or would not?
I would think so,
yeah.
Yes. I would think that it would be, because you lose a race like this, you know, you've not shown yourself to be all that politically astute.
Right, you've lost on your own ping pong table.
How terrible the
that's a saying.
But here's a question: How did the Cook County Democratic Party fare last night? You know, let's say Berrios loses and you, like you said, he's out and he's not the Cook County board chair, but his job is to slate those candidates and for them to win their primaries. Did they all win? I mean, because there were some Cook County board commissioners that lost.
Daniel Burke
lost.
Yeah, that Aaron Ortiz, right? The 27-year-old beat Burke.
I forget the number. I don't remember the numbers of those wards. But that Southwest side, it's not a ward, it's a district.
It's ironic to me, or kind of interesting, isn't it? Of all of the things we have to talk about, we're talking so much about Joe Berrios, the county assessor. But it was a fascinating, fascinating story. And just one other wrinkle on that before we move on, and that is that the third candidate on the ballot was screwed because there were signs at some of the polling places that said, do not vote for Reyna.
We had David Orlan last night, and he essentially called you, John, a operative for the campaign. he said that the all of the instances that have been called out on social media or talked to you about, you know, by you guys, they're we don't know if they're real, they're fabricated, if there were signs up,
want to see the sheet.
That's what he said, but he was saying, how do I know they're not operatives for Reyna? I mean, he essentially called you out, John.
I don't know how she then. I mean, so I pick up the cover of the Tribune today, and it says that Berrios concedes and that Reyla loses an appeal. Is it over now? Does she have no recourse?
She wanted a special, or a stop and a special, and do the election later.
So
which David Orr said, that's crazy, not going to happen.
I'm sorry, but people were calling our show yesterday. Steve, you were part of this.
Yeah, well, you were the show. I mean, you had the flyer that said you were told that a vote for her didn't count, and that you went to three election judges and told them, I've talked to Andrea, she says the votes do count.
Andrea Rayla told me that she can vote, and they go, yeah, no, this is what we got at 5 o'clock this morning.
Yeah.
The packet says, votes for Andrea Rayla do not count. I said, okay, you guys are sure about that. It was two conversations with three separate people. And so then I take the piece of paper to work, and I just, on the radio show, say, hey, I'm kind of surprised. I know it's been back and forth. Evidently, yeah. Now it's fourth. She can't win. She's not even eligible. And then a lady calls in, and she says, no, she was on TV last night, and she said she is eligible. And then a guy calls in. He goes, well, I just got out of voting, and they still have the signs up. And then another guy.
Oh, wait, Eric, it's better. Go ahead.
And then later in the show, another guy, and these are all separate districts. Like, I voted in Lakeview. Somebody else voted west of me. Somebody was far southwest of me. Somebody was in River Forest, and they said they ran into the same thing. So a guy calls.
This is appalling, isn't it? I mean, it's just like.
It still gets better.
A guy
better?
Calls in.
It still gets
and
better.
And he says, hey, but so wait. This is when we now have Joe Allen on, who is the Jim Allen, the spokesperson for the Chicago Board of Elections. And he says, everybody's got the message. And then a guy calls in. He says, I just came out of the polling place, and the sign is still up.
It was up. It was off Cicero somewhere.
Yeah, right. So I said, well, go in and tell them that the Chicago City said it's got to come down. He says, okay. So he goes in. Then he comes back out and he calls us again. He goes, I told him to take the sign down. They did.
They did.
They broke my legs.
Which is more
amazing.
Alarming.
Yeah, that you could just walk in and do that.
Right. I know.
This guy on the radio says.
What's worse, that they've got it wrong?
Or they said Rauner can't be on the ballot. Oh, sorry, let me go ahead and
exactly.
That. You're right.
Exactly.
Thank you,
oh, that is so, oh my goodness.
So, Eric, I mean, they have to now put the three names. When I get to be king, this is real simple. If you want to go vote for assessor, we're going to do it again. They're going to be Berrios, Rayla, and Kagi, and you get to pick one.
Or was on the show last night, and he said, let's not distance ourselves from the idea that Andrea Rayla did commit fraud. The reason she was bounced from the ballot to begin with was signatures were fraudulent. There were things, and it wasn't until an injunction later. And you mentioned as well that looking at that case, it looked like she might have gotten hosed. But the point being that Orr wanted to make it clear that yes, there was a lot of confusion after, but the confusion was caused by the candidate.
But it was adjudicated and declared that she didn't commit fraud.
Yeah, and
right?
I read the ruling from the appellate court ruling in her favor, and they said, yeah, her case is kind of a mess. But basically, appellate court really faulted the hearing officer for not listening to the proper witnesses, and it's read to me as though Rayla got hosed in that process.
Okay.
She should have been on the ballot from the beginning. But beyond that, I mean, first of all, the idea that it takes so long for them to figure this out, that these petition challenges drag on past the time when early voting starts, that was terrible. And the fact that it went up through Election Day and the people were getting these notices. Who knows how many votes? I mean, she got 20%, which I was surprised about.
Yeah, that was a high number.
Because of how...
Who knows what she would have got?
That could be the storyline of this election, this primary election, because if you look at beyond maybe the Kagi, he may have been the challenger, but he was the front runner by the time the election happened. But the story was irregularities. I mean, you had this issue in Cook County around this with these signs. DuPage County last night had glitches. I mean, that was a big deal. That was Jeannie Ives. The whole race.
I thought it was
going
to
be conceded.
I thought it was going to go the other way.
All that kind of stuff had to be slowed down because of glitches in DuPage County.
I want to go back to Rayla though for a second. So her options aren't exhausted, right? She could go back to a court, but she would have to prove not just that this happened, but that she had a chance of winning. Correct?
I don't know what the legal standard is. I've never heard of somebody getting another election.
Could you imagine Berrios getting another shot?
I mean, you're clearly not guaranteed a perfect election. There are always going to be irregularities. Right. A poll's going to close too soon or not going to open on time. There's always going to be little problems. This is a huge problem.
But this is the body governing the election. Okay, you guys, Jeannie Ives, that famous ad. Elif, just for the purposes of refreshing everybody's memory, this is the commercial that introduced Jeannie Ives to America.
Stay tuned for a special message.
We want to say thank you.
Thank you, Bruce Rauner.
Thank you for signing legislation that lets me use the girls' bathroom.
Thank you for making all Illinois families pay for my abortions.
Thank you, Bruce Rauner, for opposing law enforcement and making Illinois a sanctuary state for illegal immigrant criminals.
Thank you, Bruce Rauner, for the taxpayer bailout of Exelon with the largest electricity
rate. It goes on like this. Obviously, it's a TV commercial. You were listening to the audio there, but a lot of folks in Illinois and certainly the Chicago area saw it. And it's a girl with the pink pussy hat on saying, thank you for all my abortions, and this bizarre transgender dude who's going to maybe assault your little girls in the girls' bathroom. And that was Jeannie Ives' introductory ad. Here's the question for you all. Did that keep her from winning the election, or did it make the election as close as it was?
She was on the show last night and was asked that question point blank, and she said if she had to go back, she would not change a thing. That commercial helped her. It gave her a chance to be
And did
awareness.
She feel dirty about it?
She
did
didn't
she feel
seem,
like, okay,
she,
and it sucked she, that I had to do
she
that?
She made it very clear. What she said was it's a Republican primary. And she says that this was for the values of Republican voters.
She really believes that she's too stupid to be governor. Because that ad cost her, I'm sure it cost her some endorsements.
Oh, boy.
I am certain that it cost her support among...
You think she would have made up 20,000 votes and she would have won the nomination?
It was 20,000 votes, right? I mean, that's less I looked. It's only 10,000, right? If 10,000 people who voted change it, then you got to
tie. Yeah, but you can make an argument that if she doesn't do that commercial, nobody's talking about her.
No, well, people were talking about her because she had done
I don't think the media goes as crazy.
No, they do not. No, that was her icebreaker. I mean, really, people who talk, you guys,
it's a gamble. But
the
right.
Zorns of the world talk about her, but the John Williams of the world don't even know her name.
John, John Cass and I were on the same page for like the first time. It was like a harmonic convergence. We both saw that debate the same way. We both saw that Jeannie Isaac was getting a lot of traction.
This famous debate in the Tribune editorial boardroom, right, where you guys all sat down, and Jeannie Isaac kicked Bruce Rauner's ass. And much has been said about that, but people saw that
TV commercial. This commercial was queued up. They had no way to know if she was going to wipe the floor with him in that editorial board, because that came out, what, 4 days after that? So they were already hedging bets that this is what they're going to need to do. They probably didn't know they were going to have that much buzz coming off of your meeting.
I think Dan Prof got in her ear and egged her on to do that ad because it appeals to a very hardcore.
Okay, so you answered.
She would have gotten anyway. She would have ultimately gotten those people because she had 2.5 million. Yeah. Something like that. She got money to get on the air. Social conservatives were really behind her.
Eric, so did the ad help her or hurt her?
Yeah, hurt her. I think.
Steve Bertrand, go help her or hurt her.
You know, I'm going to say it might have helped her. I don't know. I mean, I see both sides of it. But
you got to pick one.
Because I do
does
think
she get
there's
more
a point,
or less votes?
I do think
ad.
There's a point that that she made great strides with the Tribune debate. But John's right. Then she got on the air and people started talking about her more because of the ad. A lot of it was negative, but they were still talking about her. And I think I see both sides of the argument, if to be John Williams.
Anybody that is, yeah, right, fine. But even I'll answer the question. And that is, it hurt her. It hurt Republicans. It hurt her. Who knows? Maybe she would have been a good governor, right? I mean, except for that ad, her resume looks like a pretty good Republican ad. To me, it looks like a pretty good Republican resume. I would have been embarrassed, ashamed, and sad to live in a state that would elect somebody that would use that as the vehicle to become governor for that ad.
So how much does it hurt Bruce Rauner in the general election?
Hmm. Well, put
that he barely won this thing.
That he barely
won. Remember, more people voted for JB than voted for Ives and Rauner combined.
Oh, and you know what else? What I thought was interesting is Daniel Biss, who came in second in the Democratic primary, his vote total was within 4,000 votes of Rauner. So I mean, it's like it shows that he did not have a great showing here. But you know what? Wipe the slate clean, right? I mean, you have two billionaires now, maybe 100 millionaires after this, how much money they put in. But the point being that now they can hone their message at each other. And I don't think it's a no-brainer that Pritzker wins. I think Republicans just didn't come out. They
JB's
don't need to. They have the economy.
JB's going to win. He's going to spend another $60 million and he's just going to win.
I don't know.
All Rauner has, and it's not a bad card to play, but it's the only card he plays is Madigan. He calls Pritzker the hand-picked candidate of Madigan. That Pritzker's going to be in Madigan's pocket. But the truth is, people are saying, I was hearing the chant, four more years.
Yeah.
So it's like, 4 more years? Really?
It was the most tepid 4 more years chant you've ever heard.
All the stuff that came out in the primary, whatever with Blagojevich tapes, whether it was offshore tax holding, that stuff is going to come out more on J.B. Pritzker than Bruce Rauner, because Browner's already been vetted. He already had that happen in his campaign 4 years ago. So now the question happens, what happens in August? What happens in September and October when the Tribune, your paper, has a 5-part series on where J.B. Pritzker hides all the money all around the world, or what dictatorship he's propping up, or whatever he's doing with his $1 billion? I think that it's not a given that J.B. Pritzker is just going to run away with it.
Really, Eric, that chant was 4 more years. 3 more years. 2.5, whatever it takes.
Our frequent rascal panelist, Scott Sanis, who's a Republican, says he hadn't talked to any Republicans who were enthusiastic about Rauner.
Yeah.
Now, he predicted Ives would win, but that was just a little bit too optimistic, I think. But I don't understand how people are enthusiastic about Rauner. I don't see people like going to the polls to vote for Bruce Rauner. Rauner has been a failure as a governor. Now, you can say that it's better now than it would have been if Quinn had won, or it would be worse if Pritzker wins. That's an argument, but you can't say that Rauner's gotten anything done. He's 0 for 43.
And the Madigan stuff, you know, you're right. It's a good card, but it's been the only card, and I wonder if you become the boy who cried wolf. I mean, if that's all you've got to say, you know, you're not drawing any attention from me, because you've been saying that for 4 years and you haven't been able to do anything about it.
I don't know. I mean, maybe this crew in here, we've all lost our short-term memory, but in 2016, Donald Trump ran and a lot of Republicans weren't for him, but they hated the competition. And they voted with their nose plugged for Donald Trump. And I would think that Republicans are not going to stay home. I think they'll hold their nose and they'll vote for Bruce Rauner because they don't like J.B. Pritzker, who is backed by Mike Madigan. So I do think that we can all sit in here and say, yeah, the Republicans don't like Rauner, but they don't like Madigan more.
That's true.
I think if we were to travel to downstate Effingham and measure levels of loathe, the loathe for Hillary Clinton is going to be way above what,
They got to bring the loathe. Right? The loathe projectile's got to come.
They got to lift the loathe.
Also, Justin, as you pointed out, the overall Democratic vote totals were just way, way higher. I mean, there's just more Democrats than there are Republicans in Illinois
that voted.
Or that tend to vote.
Yeah,
that's funny because I think of Illinois as a red state anymore with a blue city.
But they had the incumbent governor.
Hillary won the metro area. I mean, this state went pretty heavily for Hillary Clinton last time, despite all. The reason that Rauner won is because Pat Quinn was just not a very inspiring or particularly effective governor. And one reason he wasn't was because he didn't know how to really deal with Mike Madigan either. I think that was almost more of an anti-Quinn vote than a pro-Rauner vote. And Rauner ran on this platform of like, I can fix it, I'll shake things up. But he never really said how he was going to do it, because he clearly didn't have a plan.
So have we voted for or against Pat Quinn for the last time?
Yes, I think we have. I think we finally have.
Imagine the person who wanted to vote for Republican Ives or Rauner, but was so upset about this Joe Berrios thing that they wanted to vote against him. You couldn't. If you're a Republican and you feel like, I really got to have my voice heard on the governor's race, then because the primary here feels like a general election, if you will, for the assessor's office, then you couldn't vote for both. You had to pull one ballot, and the Berrios name did not appear on a Republican ballot. I guess that's just the way it is, but I think that I wonder if that was a quandary for some voters
I heard so many people talk about the fact they wish it was an open primary. This is an old, machine state when it comes to Democratic. I mean, there's always been talk of why do we have our primaries in the winter, because they want to suppress the voter to come out. There's also the talk of, remember, what was it? Was it Hines who did the punch 10 at one point where you were
straight
ticket where you could just pick? I mean, this has been all about this state and this city has been all about trying to figure out little loopholes and little tricks to get you to vote for one party instead of the other.
Well, let me float another idea past you. If you remember the 3rd Congressional District out there where Dan Lipinski was running against Marie Newman, Lipinski, very conservative Democrat, there were a significant effort made by the Susan B. Anthony Fund, which is an anti-abortion group, to get Republicans out there to take Democratic ballots and vote for Lipinski.
And if they did that,
they targeted 17,000 voters. I don't know how many they got, but I think Lipinski, last I checked, was ahead by around 2,000 votes. Oof. So it might have been that effort there, getting some Republicans to take Democratic ballots,
stymied Jeanne Ives.
It probably hurt Jeanne Ives. I don't know if there could have been enough to overcome that.
But still, I mean, just as you're talking about, they wanted to vote for Jeanne Ives. She falls into the category, but that more important to keep Dan Lipinski over Marie Newman, so they had to make a choice.
Well, I have no skin in the game for either of those candidates in that Newman or Lipinski. But in a way, I was a little encouraged, because I think one of the things that's happened, the negative things in this country, is that sitting members of Congress are being dragged either to the far right or to the far left.
Yeah.
And this was a case where Lipinski, who's a pretty conservative Democrat, was being challenged from the far left, and he survived it. I'd like to see more people closer to the center surviving, Republicans or Democrats.
Is Marie Newman she ran rabid pretty far progressive? Well, but I think that the
she
Democrats
ran against him saying he was too conservative.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, but he is conservative.
He
does not fit the party mold.
I so agree with you, though, Steve. I mean, here's a nuanced, if you will, Democrat. Maybe there are some Republicans like that out there as well. What a refreshing kind of thing. The problem for poor Dan Lipinski is, on paper, he looks pretty good, if you will, but he is the least charismatic person you will ever speak to. He fumbles so that you almost wonder if he's well, and yet there he is, a member of Congress.
Well, I can't wait to I wish I could be a fly on the bus, the Illinois delegation bus, when Jan Schakowsky and Dan Lipinski are essentially having to go from one place to the other.
Greyhound back to
well, you know, John, though, but Dan Lipinski, he worked hard. He built himself up from the bootstraps in order to win that.
Yes.
Oh, wait, it was his dad's
unknown
seat.
Name. Right.
They didn't change the signs. They had the same signs as his dad.
There's a difference between being a moderate and being someone who opposed Barack Obama's reelection in 2012, who is, you know, far to the right in the party on
healthcare,
reproductive choice, and who and on gay rights issues, he's bad. I mean, he's not just a moderate. I mean, he's really kind of what do they call it, Dino, Democrat in name only. I mean, he doesn't really fit the party anymore. I don't know if Marie Newman's the candidate, but what that showed me is that in 2 years he's going to have another challenge, well, maybe from her.
That's what Jan Schakowsky said,
or maybe or maybe someone who, you know, who's
she said this is a 4-year campaign. So let's take that what you will. That I mean, it's a 2-year cycle, but it's a 4-year campaign.
Yeah, but if you were keeping score this way, but how will he vote on an impeachment of the president? You know which way he's going to go, right? I mean, he's safe if you want some sort of Democrat in Congress who will at least oppose the president on some of his nuttiness, or maybe even oppose the president. You've still got that. You haven't lost that.
Yeah, but there might be, you know, ideological fights down the line when it comes to abortion or it comes to gay rights and other places that you can't count on Lipinski because you don't know where he's if you're the Democrat.
How many votes did the Nazi get out there?
He got the nomination.
He's on the ballot. That's a headline today.
Republican Nazi guy. I think he got like 19,000 votes. Or something.
The Republican Nazi guy. I'm not sure what his name is either, but I know
that's
that.
A sign.
Well, it used to apply to far fewer people. Than it does now.
Yeah.
And I'll be more specific. I'm the guy who was a Holocaust denier and white supremacist.
Yeah.
He's got that guy.
You guys, one last thing before we go. Just real quick, does anybody want to say anything about the attorney general job goes to the Democrat who won Kwame Raoul? Yeah. This is the work of my life. I love that guy. Or does it go to the former Miss America Harvard law grad and best brief in the Harvard Ames Moot Court of Competition, whatever that is?
Is it fair to keep referring to her as a former Miss America?
She looks spectacular, and she's a Harvard law grad.
Is it fair to talk about how she looks?
I'm talking about electability, and I'm asking you which of these candidates.
That's in her PR.
No, it's in her interest.
I'm doing news stories on this, and a story was written for me this morning, and I almost...
Didn't do it.
Yeah, because it's always a former Miss America. But you're right, it is in her
literature. It's in her PR and the balance. And I think this is kind of weird, too, because you never call out where the other candidates are from, like where they went to school. Like, I'd never be like, Kwame Raoul, who is a graduate of the University of Chicago. That's not a part of it. So for to us to say former Miss America and a Harvard graduate, it's
I'm voting for her.
Yeah.
Well, that's weird,
but that's her PR. That's her marketing.
Just think of the calendars.
I think that she's got a really good shot because I think there are people who like to balance their ticket in the fall when you can juice one party and another party in a race. The idea of having a Republican attorney general.
A downstate, multicultural Harvard Miss America.
But she is hitched to Bruce Rauner's success, meaning if the Republicans can't get the vote out for him, if they stay home, she loses. She's going to be in a tough spot because right now, automatically, Rauner has already said, I'm pledging all my money to support Erica Harold. So Republicans have a little bit of like, I don't like Rauner, but I like Harold. And Kwame Raoul is the established candidate for Democrats.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying that of all the, I think she's got a better chance than Rauner does of winning. And I did not see the appearance she had before the editorial board, but I've seen her on television. She seems like she presents very well, and you know, she makes a case. She's going to say, "I'm going to go after corruption," which is what everybody who runs for attorney general always says. Mm-hmm. And then they get in the office and they find out they don't really have the staff or the tools or the mandate to do that. But we'll see. You know, I think that that's appealing. People don't like to have one party in control of everything in the state. And so if they're going to say, well, I want a Democrat to be governor because I don't want Rauner, but I don't want to have Democrats in every constitutional office. And Erica Harold seems – I mean, I would give her –
Close with this, Eric. Not who you want to win, but who do you think will win the governor's race?
Well, I think Pritzker, we'll
save everybody a lot of money right now if we just decide.
I'd say Pritzker at this point, yeah.
I'd say Pritzker, too.
Pritzker.
No, that's 4 votes for him.
I'll take it back, Rauner.
That's people. Yeah, just to keep it in. You're a talk show host, too. And that's not 4 votes for him. That's 4 people guessing that the state will give him more votes. Thank you, Eric Zorn. Let's do this again tomorrow, shall we?
We'll be here.
With a kind of different crew and a different set of casts. Justin Kaufman, you hear late night. Not late night. That's Patty Vasquez.
Yeah, yeah.
You hear him on the download on WGN Radio. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, man.
See, Bertrand, we'll talk to you soon. I'm John Williams. Is Ben Cortez over there? He normally engineers the Mincing Rascals. There's our producer, Elif Garrison. We'll drop another pod on you tomorrow.